Okay, Chief, I believe Chief is on the line. Did you want to start?
Kevin, can you tell us about the status of the road, the whole village road?
I can't, but I'll bet Chief can. Sorry, I thought he was on the line already. So
sorry.
No, no problem.
Hey, Kevin, it's Darryl. Sorry.
No, no problem.
Yeah, our overflights yesterday and today continue to show that there were breakouts up near the former true geothermal well pad site in that general elevation upslope. So it's about 3.5 miles upslope from Apaw Street. The breakouts were on the flow surface or pad, as well as along the margins on both the north and south side, with most of the activity along the north side of the flow pad. There was very little burning along the south side. Again, the breakouts are very small there. The more significant breakouts on the north side, and starting there at about 3.5 miles and then continuing upslope to about 5 miles, we saw breakouts. Again, the smoke conditions were moderate to heavy this morning because there was more of a west wind, so it was bringing the smoke plume right down into Pahoa and the lower areas of Puna, but as the day heated up, it was dissipating quickly. Right now, the closest or nearest advanced flow on the flow pad itself or breakout is still about 3.5 miles upslope. Don't have any kind of estimated rate of advancement because these have been just breakouts on the surface, not establishing a new advancing flow front that we would normally track with HVO. So that's the activity that we saw this morning, and I know there's questions regarding the road, so before moving to the road, is there any questions, I guess, for me or HVO regarding on the activity upslope?
Aloha, Darryl. Hey, it's me, Lekka Lincoln with Hawaii News Now. So I don't know if this would be a question best answered by you or by HVO, but do you guys have measurements now as it applies to the proximity to Ka'ohe Homesteads? I know when you guys had done that on Thursday, it was about 1.2 miles west. As it's advancing, has it moved closer in that direction, or is it heading more northeast?
Yeah, it's heading more northeast. There's presently no threat to Ka'ohe. The activity is along the north side of the old or former flow pad. So the flow pad itself or the flow itself is creating its own, you know, direction or, not a barrier, but it's setting up its own topography. So we haven't seen any activity on the flow pad or on the margins that would pose any kind of threat to Ka'ohe. And I know that HVO is also flying today, if they haven't already done so, and based on their observations as well as the photographs I've shared with them, they could probably either verify or confirm what I'm saying, that Ka'ohe is not currently in any position of a threat. So I don't know if Janet or anybody would like to add to that.
Hi, this is Janet. Our crews just left moments ago for the helicopter overflight, so we'll have more information later this afternoon.
Okay, mahalo. Thank you, guys.
Darryl, Chelsea with West Hawaii Today. You said the breakout extends, starts at 3.5 miles. Does it go up 5 miles or about 5 miles above Apaa Street?
Yeah, there's multiple breakouts. So the furthest downslope breakout is about 3.5 miles up from Apaa Street. But there's multiple breakouts on the surface as well as along the margins or edges of the flow. And that activity extends up to about 5 miles from Apaa Street. There may be more activity further up within the tube system, but what we could see visibly on the flow pad and on the edges or margins extends up to about 5 miles from Apaa Street. So for me, that just indicates that we do have, you know, lava being transported downslope. It is making its way down to within 3.5 miles of Apaa Street, where it's breaking out on the surface as well as along the margin. Some of it is, you know, on the surface entering a crack system down in that area, but there's no advancement or activity that we can see further downslope than that 3.5 mile area above Apaa Street.
Darryl, John Burnett, has work started yet to reopen Apaa Street? And if so, when is it expected to be reopened?
Yes, thanks, John. The work did start. Elko was removing the cinder from around the protective barriers on the poles this morning. When I spoke to their supervisor in the field, he indicated that they would be having a street sweeper out there later today, which to me indicates that they have removed most of the material that was around the poles. We're also coordinating with the Department of Public Works to do a walkthrough, and the purpose of their walkthrough is to identify any potential traffic issues or hazards HELCO is not, at this point, removing the concrete rings or the wire mesh that's around the pole. So they do stick out from the base of the pole, maybe, you know, 2 feet or so in a radius. So it does create a wider base on the pole. Now, whether or not that wider base is going to pose any kind of a traffic hazard, that's the request we've made of Public Works, their traffic division, to go out and do a walkthrough and identify if we need to do anything else as far as maybe flashing sawhorses, barricades, any kind of warning indicator that would let the vehicle traffic know that there is maybe a slight hazard there to prevent any kind of an accident. The other thing we're doing is we're working with the private residents on the county side to identify if there's any issues with the potential for trespassing or access onto private property, because, you know, once we open the road, the flow that had come downhill onto private property may be visible, and those residents obviously are not entertaining any kind of access on their property. They'd like to maintain privacy. We just need to encourage onlookers, people driving through, that, again, it's on private property. No one should be trying to get out there and walk up and trespass on private property. Respect the private landowners and keep the traffic flowing smoothly, because, again, if we were opening the road, it was to alleviate traffic concerns and provide for access, and we don't want to have that in any way impacted by people stopping to take pictures, which would defeat the purpose of why we're opening the road. So we'll also be working with the police department on making sure the traffic management plan there is working well and evaluate what's happening. And as far as when we're going to open the road, I'm still waiting on that walkthrough assessment from the Public Works to make sure that the protective measures could stay in place, or whether or not we need to remove them. Because if we need to remove them, then HELCO will be back up there with their contractor maybe tomorrow removing that. So it might be, you know, a couple of days. As we mentioned in our media release, it will take a few days to remove everything and make it safe for people to drive through.
Do you expect that intersection or the Paw Street will be open on Pahoa Village Road in time for their Christmas parade coming up? I believe it's Saturday. Or maybe
right
it's
now, we're shooting for possibly, you know, Thanksgiving to have the Pahoa Village Road open. Paw Street will remain closed to local traffic only, because we're not allowing access up to where the flow crossed the Paw Street and the transfer station. So the Paw Street itself will remain closed to residential traffic only. But the Village Road, we are striving to try to have it open by Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Sure.
Daryl, Chelsea with Westway Today. How are plans going or talks going to actually set up a public viewing place, considering the concerns for people rubbernecking on Pahoa Village Road if it's reopened?
Yeah, we are meeting with the stakeholders and trying to come up with the viewing arrangements. If you can imagine, once we make that step and commitment, it's making sure that we can provide for viewing with all of the basic needs and safety parameters in place. From everything from the traffic, how do we allow for traffic flow, whether or not we're going to be providing a bus-in service to minimize the amount of vehicles that would be inundating the area, providing for an educational experience at the viewing site, which is to set up in coordination with some of our partners, such as University of Hawaii, HBO, where information could be made available at the site. So it's not only an entertainment piece, but it's an educational opportunity to share with the community and those coming up there on the behavior and characteristics of the flow and why some of the actions we took and what are some of the safety concerns which triggered those actions. As well as to, I think, inform or have them see, the viewers that come up there, is obviously the protective measures that HELCO put in place, the inundation or impact it's had on the transfer station. We see the transfer station as a viable collection point and venue to do the educational piece and outreach there. It has some of the features that would make it good for traffic flow, such as a circular, semicircular driveway with two gates so that you could bring buses in and out. It has covered areas for those presentations and briefings. We're working on identifying the needs for portable restrooms So all of the different pieces to it that would make it a safe and effective viewing process. We're trying to expedite that while the conditions allow for safe viewing.
And one more. I actually noticed in the civil defense statements that you guys are no longer saying that people remain on evacuation notice. Is that true, or is it just not in there?
Right. We have, you know, as we've been telling people, we want them to remain vigilant to possible evacuation. Right now, we are able to not, emphasize that particular point because the conditions do not present with a need to keep people on that heightened level of alert for an evacuation. If things change, we will put them back on an evacuation notice. But at this point, there is no activity that would present itself with a need to keep people on a heightened level of awareness for a possible evacuation.
Sorry, Daryl. So can you confirm, will there be just that continued, whether it's just every hour or so, monitoring of Pahoa Village Road by either police officers or National Guard troops to ensure, again, that there aren't issues with trespassing, some of the concerns that have been raised by the Pahoa Village residents?
Right. Well, part of the walkthrough, again, this afternoon with Public Works, besides the traffic hazards and the full protection, is to identify where we might want to put up those triangles or, the folding sawhorses with the flashers to encourage vehicle traffic to continue to avoid any kind of parking on the shoulder. So there's not much of a shoulder there in some of those areas for people to pull over and try to get out and maybe want to take a picture. So we need to maintain the flow of traffic through and discourage any parking which might lead to trespassing, as well as working with individual property owners. If there is an issue with their driveway, that maybe we need to put up those sawhorses again to deter any kind of, you know, vehicles entering their driveway or onto their property, we'll be working with them. What we're asking for is the entire community's support and assistance with this, because again, this is private property. These are people who are dealing with the impact. And if we could all do our part to respect their privacy, it makes it easier for us to support the opening of the road, as well as, you know, we also want to make sure that the security of that area is maintained, because you don't want to have, unfortunately, any kind of crime occur because we've opened the road and the distraction of the flow is presenting with opportunity.
Mahalo.
Sure.
Hey, this is Kevin. Anything further for Chief or for HVO?
This is Chelsea with West Hawaii Today. This is an HVO question. Is there any indication as to why most of the breakouts are occurring on the north, and about how high the actual flow pad is that's kind of protecting Kauai?
So, Chelsea, this is Janet at HVO. So the reason it's breaking, you know, kind of staying to the north is that, as we've said in the past, lava flows can create their own topography. Daryl mentioned this earlier today even. And so as that flow that came through inflated, and the inflation that we measured somewhere between 1 and 3 meters, that builds sort of a ridge. And then if you have breakouts to the north of that, they're going to have to inflate to that level to overtop that ridge. So it's just a matter of the fact that the existing flow has created its own topography, and the breakouts are on the north side of that now.
Thank you.
This is Kevin again. Last call for questions. If not, we will plan on doing another 11:30 tomorrow, although it's been pretty quiet lately, but we'll go ahead and do at least one more. And thank you all for joining us.